man. What's going on? It's been a long time. Like I said before we got on here, I got a little bit of podcast rust, so please don't hold that against me, folks. Yeah, we're going to talk about 99% Tua, maybe 1% Justin Herbert. How's that?
Exactly. And here in the sportscast, we're really, really excited about college football as one of our main sports, one of the main topics we talk about on the sportscast. And of course, you know, who is the best team? Alabama's been riding on the dynasty for the past couple of years, past 10 years to be exact. And of course, Justin Riley has lived through it. And he's definitely seen, we don't know what we're seeing right now. Are we seeing a downslope, or are we seeing a steady plateau where they're, you know, automatically a championship contender? But anyways, let's start with Tua Tagovailoa. Of course, you wrote an article today entitled "Is Tua Overrated?" And of course, some haters would say that. But as you, as a fan, why did you write this article?
Well, normally, If you were to hear that statement from a casual hater or passerby, you just don't really acknowledge it because it's utterly absurd. But here lately, there's been a select group of people, albeit a small group of people, who are starting to emerge making these claims that Tua Tagovailoa, for various reasons that they have, is overrated. So I felt like, as a fan, not only of Alabama and Tua Tagovailoa, but of college football, it's my duty to step up and tackle this issue head on.
Quite exactly. Of course, there's always that argument. Like, the main argument that I hear is that if he doesn't have a good O-line, or if he gets roughed and tackled a lot, he won't be as good. What do you think about that argument?
Well, I mean, but yeah, can that same argument be made for any quarterback? You know, if any quarterback is going up against a stellar defense, and first of all, it's going to be a rough outing to begin with. That stellar defense is ranked where they are for a specific reason. They make lives a living hell for everybody, especially a quarterback. So don't expect Hall of Fame numbers in that outing. I mean, yeah, their points and their production is going to take a little bit of a dip just because of how good and well-coached the opposing defense is going to be. But, yeah, if you run into those things you just mentioned where the offensive line is not performing very well or some kind of other external factor isn't happening, they're naturally going to struggle. But to discount Tua's performance and his ability as a quarterback and his accolades – for that reason, it's kind of irresponsible as a college football fan.
Which another argument is that Alabama historically, or at least for the last 10 years, hasn't had a good quarterback. You know, typically it's a second tier, not at the highest level. But Tua is probably one of the first Alabama quarterbacks in my recent memory to be a potential first rounder and potential first pick.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Historically, Alabama's always had that kind of middle-of-the-road, good game-managing quarterback because their identity of the offense was found in an incredible running game, as shown by past NFL drafts. We've had first through third-round draft picks that have been taken off the board, and they've never really seen a quarterback go. I think the most recent quarterback we had drafted was A.J. McCarron, and he wasn't drafted until the fifth round. So by history purposes, yeah, we hadn't really been an aerial assault type offense. However, the way things are adapting, the way things are changing, Nick Saban had to adapt. So he brought in signal callers, coordinators that can update things. And they brought in Tua Tagovailoa and went a completely different direction than what they're accustomed, and it's paid off in huge dividends.
Let's go into your article where you mentioned when it all began in January 2018 when the backup Tagovailoa went into the national championship at for the second half, which was pretty gutsy by Saban. Of course, no one has heard of Tua. I didn't hear about him till the second half. And you mentioned about even ESPN analyst Kirk Herbstreit went to say, if I see Tua trot out there for the first snap, I'll just say to everyone, I'm sorry, because it's going to be a long year, and they're going to score literally 45-50 every game. Then there was his performance. Of course, that second half was a really good second half of Tua, and that definitely, you know, that kind of foreshadowed of him being the starter. Why did he had a good second half? Like, what was his secret sauce?
Well, the main thing, like you mentioned earlier, Tua brought something to the table that past Alabama quarterbacks didn't have, and that was the ability to throw the ball around. If you were an Alabama fan, like you just said, you really didn't know a whole lot about Tua Tagovailoa unless you're just one of those recruiting nerds who pays a close attention to all the fine details and recruiting season. But if you didn't, you really didn't know a whole lot until you saw him on the national stage. But as an Alabama fan, you got to see glimpses of him throughout the season when Alabama had sizable leads against opponents, and you got a really kind of a taste of what he would be possibly producing for us. He showed good intangibles, and you could see when he was in, he had a little bit of something that other quarterbacks didn't have. He definitely had something that Jalen Hurts didn't have. Jalen Hurts was great. He carried us to new levels. But the thing about Tua was he is not a one-dimensional quarterback. He doesn't rely solely on his run. But also, too, he was a quarterback, unlike Jalen, who was going through all of his progressions and looking at all his receivers instead of looking to a primary receiver, and if he wasn't open, just taking off. He could stretch the field. He could keep you honest. And Georgia wasn't ready for that. They didn't practice for that. They practiced for Jalen. And as soon as Tua hit the field, the whole game just changed. The offense opened up, and suddenly we didn't just have Calvin Ridley. We had several other receivers that are very good, very capable. You know, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, who ended up catching the game winner. So it changed everything. And as soon as that happened, like I said in the article, Tagovailoa mania was born. And all the media just began to just hype, and creating this incredible pedestal for a 18/19-year-old kid to live up to. And then we go into the season, and he makes that comment that you just mentioned, saying, you know, if he trots out on that field, it's over. And of course, right after that, you know, Tua started just blowing the doors off the stat books. You know, he started doing incredible things, living up to that incredible billing. So people just started running with it, and they started comparing him to former NFL and college greats. And then, like I said in the article, it's like they were already setting the plans in motion to start carving his face out on the Mount Rushmore of college football. So, yeah, this just incredible pedestal was being built and placed upon this 19-year-old kid's shoulders.
Yeah, one of the comparisons you gave him was Dan Marino and Drew Brees. And then you said Drew Brees will give Tua a endorsement. And that's something that I've not heard any comparisons to. I usually hear about Russell Wilson comparison, but you're right. He does have the arm of Dan Marino.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He's got a cannon for an arm. You don't have to worry about arm strength there, man. He can fire it down the field. But he's also got the durability of a Russell Wilson as well as a Drew Brees. So you don't have to worry about him just being stuck in a pocket. You know, he can improvise, and he can make things happen.
Now, looking at the onward season, he will not have Jalen Hurts around. And of course, last season they most of the games, maybe all of the games, they split. First half of Tua, second half was Jalen, and the championship didn't play Jalen at all. How do you see this next upcoming season for Tua? I mean, will this be a do or die moment? Or do you think you're pretty confident he'll do a good job playing a full game?
Well, the biggest thing for Alabama fans is they need to see that Tua, number one, is going to stay healthy. That was a major concern last year with his knee and his ankle, amongst other things. And to be quite honestly, you know, it greatly hindered him in his performance against the top-tier defenses, which everybody has nitpicked and just dissected, you know, beyond belief. People tend to forget that in those games, yes, Tua did perform not very well. And 3 out of 4 of those games, though, he was injured to the point to where he had to be carried off the field. And I don't know of any quarterback who basically is playing on one leg is going to be able to throw, you know, 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. It's just not going to happen. But Bama fans need to see that the mistakes he made are going to be corrected. And these mistakes are young mistakes, which are typical of, you know, rookie 18, 19-year-old quarterbacks. You know, yes, he performed at incredibly high levels last year. The guy threw for over 3,600 yards, 43 touchdowns. That don't just happen by accident. The man is incredible. But he did have his faults at times. And if he doesn't correct those, yeah, then we can start, you know, doubting his ability and maybe even say overrated. But I seriously doubt that he's going to be that. I think he has worked on those things. I think that he has fine-tuned his problems. You know, but, you know, it's just a wait-and-see moment. One of the things we need to see is if things start going bad, you know, Tua does have a tendency to try to force an issue. Otherwise, better left alone. He tries to do too much. He tries to hit the home run button and instead of just kind of letting the game come to him. If he can just relax and make his check downs and eliminate that, I think he'll be okay. Also, too, you know, he needs to learn how to just get rid of the ball. You know, when at times he would hold the ball too long, and he would take unnecessary hits. But a lot of those times came when he was injured, and he tends to play a little timid, a little safe when he's not 100%. But then again, anybody's going to be that way as well. But Alabama fans just really need to see that these small issues that are correctable. Understand they are correctable, are going to be taken care of. And I think they will. The thing is, people need to realize, too, nobody knows these things more than Tua Tagovailoa. So I guarantee in this offseason, he has spent a tremendous amount of time working on these issues. And I think they're going to be resolved. And I think you're going to see a better Tua Tagovailoa this year.
His backup quarterback is Mac Jones, presumed, of course. The other quarterbacks are freshmen in the squad. So we'll definitely, you know, like you were saying, you were explaining some things of how can Tua stay healthy. And, yeah, maybe do you think he probably needs to throw the ball more than just running around?
Well, it comes with maturity. How much is Tua matured? Another thing is, too, you know, how are these new coaches that have come in with since the departure of Locksley and then our quarterback coach that went to Miami, how is he going to respond to their teaching and their way of doing things? And, you know, is that chemistry 100%? And just what are they going to be able to do from a developmental standpoint? This means it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But also, too, you know, we just lost some major contributors in the backfield. You have Damian Harris is now a New England Patriot, and you have Josh Jacobs, who is a first-round pick to the Oakland Raiders. So we're going to have some help in the backfield to take a little bit of pressure off of Tua Tagovailoa. And the perfect person to do that is Najee Harris. Is Najee going to finally be the guy? Is he going to be that running back that he's been hyped up to be? We also have behind him, you know, Brian Robinson Jr., who has shown flashes of being a next great back like a Josh Jacobs or a Kenyon Drake. But we need to have that third option. Trey Sanders, five-star recruit, was hurt this past weekend, and he's done for the season. So who's going to take that spot? Some talk's been made about Jaylen Waddle possibly coming in and playing a little bit, at that position too. So it kind of depends on, how all that works together.
How are the injuries so far for Alabama doing this past summer or this past camp?
Well, I mean, everything was looking great until this past weekend. Like I just mentioned, Trey Sanders went down with an injury. And then we also had Josh McMillan, who finally got his opportunity to be the starter linebacker. He's done, fifth-year senior. So maybe he can apply for a medical redshirt and come back next year. I'm not sure, but, those are two significant injuries. It seems like we can't make it through any fall camp without getting an injury at linebacker.
Back to Tua, as of right now, do you think he still will be the number one pick for the NFL draft in 2020?
Man, to be honest with you, I really don't, get into all that. If I was to draft according to today, if the draft was today, I would say, yeah, you absolutely got to take it. But it really just, for me, it depends on how this season plays out. Has he been able to correct those mistakes I talked to you about? And what else is he going to be able to do? Is he going to continue to solidify, that claim and that prediction from all the NFL analysts and pundits? So, I mean, it's just kind of a wait-and-see game for me.
It's interesting how these quarterback prospects and these draft order picks kind of change throughout time, even through months or even days. Because remember, a year ago, Kyler Murray was not even in talks to be the number one pick. And who knows what will happen to Tua. Tua has had a great 2 years, to be honest. I mean, yeah, he had some pitfalls last year. But he's led Alabama to a national championship. Anything can happen in a year. But I still think he's still a first-rounder no matter what happens.
Well, I think so, too. And you're absolutely right, man. As far as predicting the NFL draft picks, the draft order, where people are going to go, man, these analysts are so fickle. I mean, it can change at any given moment.
A split second.
Like the Kyler Murray situation, for example. And of course,
did you know who was Kyler Murray 1 year ago?
Well, you know how great he was, and he's a great college player. But everybody at one point had pretty much written off him as an NFL quarterback, and said that he wasn't going to be able to be an NFL quarterback. He needs to stick with baseball. Then about a month before the draft happens, all of a sudden it's a complete 360, and he all of a sudden is then mentioned as a first pick. So it's just really crazy, man. You really can't pay a whole lot of attention into these things and put a lot of stock into these guys' statements, man, because it's basically the flavor of the week.
A little off topic, do you think Kyler Murray will do well in his first year with the Cardinals?
I think he's going to do as well as he can, considering he's with the Arizona Cardinals.
That's not saying much.
It's not, because they're a franchise that is in mass rebuild mode right now, and they got a new coach. They're going to have to do something about that offensive line that was one of the worst in the NFL this past season. I mean, they had 11 different lineup changes at one point. Man, I feel sorry for Kyler Murray. And they're going to have some solid wide receiver play. They're going to have their running back 100% healthy. Larry Fitzgerald is going to be able to help him. But the thing is, how much longer is Larry Fitzgerald going to be there?
I don't think more than the season.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I just think if he can take his rookie bumps, which are probably going to be a lot of bumps, I think he'll be okay. But don't expect for him to have a Pro Bowl-type season, considering the state of that team right now.
Do you trust Cliff Kingsbury?
I really can't right now, just because he's one of those gimmicky-type coaches. And usually gimmick type offenses don't really translate well to the NFL, as do their players. So, I mean, I'm not going to write them off completely, but he's just going to really show that what he's going to be able, what he did. Well, I didn't think he was that great at Texas Tech, to be honest with you. I was really completely just blown away by the hire. Is he going to be able to, you know, transcend over to the NFL? Is he willing to make certain adjustments to his offense in order to adapt to the NFL? I don't know, man. I really am not a firm supporter of him right now.
We did not plan to talk about the Cardinals, but of course, Murray came up and obviously compared to Tua. Back to Tua, is there really a debate between Tua versus Justin Herbert?
Well, the media wants you to, because that's what sells the papers. That's what gets you to click onto the website. That's what gets you to tune in to the preview shows and all this and that. I think they're two different style quarterbacks. I think they're both tremendous quarterbacks. Right now, I kind of like Tua a little bit better than Justin Herbert. I just think that Tua has a he's more of a just a wow. When you see him, man, it's just like you never know what's going to happen, but you know at any moment he can erupt and he can just take over a game. So he's got that wow factor to him. But everybody's looking at Herbert as the prototypical NFL-type quarterback. So a lot of the draft guys are really leaning more towards him, and their confidence is leaning more towards him. But I think overall from a production standpoint, Tua has shown me more than Justin Herbert has at this point.
How much of a big deal of the injury of Baylor Cup for Texas A&M will be?
Do what now?
How much of a significant factor will be Baylor Cup? He underwent surgery to repair a broken leg. He is with Texas A&M. He's a freshman. I don't expect you know much of him, but I guess he's a freshman, so we have low expectations.
Well, Texas A&M this year again, they're still kind of in the rebuilding mode, and they're going to be tremendously better. And they have another year under Jimbo Fisher's system. They're a very dangerous team. They don't quite have that depth there yet to really compete with the big boys, but I do think that they have the potential to be spoiler to a lot of teams right now. I know the meeting between Clemson. Definitely circle the meeting between Alabama. They're playing Alabama at Kyle Field, so that's a very dangerous place to play. Last time we played there, we escaped with our lives. So just keep a lookout on them right now. I think they're going to be the surprise team in the SEC West.
Justin Riley will be covering the SEC as a whole, the East and West, and of course you will be also covering the Big 12 as well with Caleb Borden. What do you expect? I mean, obviously, our preview show is next week, but obviously, yeah, just give us a little small preview on your part of the sportscast this fall.
Well, I'm afraid if I start talking, I'll probably reveal too much, but the SEC is going to be very strong this year. I think the SEC West is going to be the dominant side yet again. It has the most talent, and they have the best potential to really do a lot more this year. They have several candidates for a New Year's Day Bowl. The SEC East is the biggest mystery, because once you get past Georgia, you really don't know what's going to happen.
It's Georgia, man. There's no competition against Georgia in the East, apparently. They locked it.
No, at the moment, no. And you know, Kentucky had a phenomenal season this past year. Best in school history, or one of the best in school history. But the thing is, though, can Kentucky sustain that level of success? We don't know. And then, what state is Florida in? I mean, they have been the center of a lot of controversy during the off season, and they had some people leave. So where are they going to be? Is Felipe Franks going to finally live up to the high accolades he received coming out of high school? What's he going to do? It's just really just kind of a I don't know when it comes to Florida, because you don't know how they're going to respond with all these things that have happened. And I think they go as far as Felipe Franks can take them. But we're going to see. I think Tennessee is going to be tremendously better, I think South Carolina's going to be a dangerous team.
Yeah, we're definitely going to save it up for next week, of course, and that's going to be pretty exciting. The whole preview show of college football is so massive, so big. We're going to cover a lot in that. I was about to say a hour, but it's definitely going to be. I was going to say a half hour, but it's going to be probably an hour or so. Anyways, wow, towards the end of the show, we got not much predictions going on. I mean, baseball, but I don't think you watch too much baseball.
No, I don't, man. I'm trying to get ready. I'm trying to get ready for this college football season and get my mind right.
I guess you can predict what's going to happen at the preview show next week.
I feel like that Ty Turner is going to disagree with probably about 85% of what I say.
It's going to be exciting. Of course, we have Ryan Krista in the mix, and then Kai Lu's coming on as well. So it should be pretty exciting. Random question is, what is your favorite space movie?
Man, Star Wars, brother. One of the greatest movie series of all time set in space. Don't really think anything's better than that. You know, Star Trek is a close second, but Star Wars has the most iconic and unforgettable characters.
No one has said Spaceballs, so I guess Star Wars is my choice as well. Someone said Apollo 13, also another great flick. And lastly, we'll just add this one. What is your favorite Tom Hanks character?
Easily, man. Forrest Gump, one of the greatest movies ever made. And plus, I mean, he played football at Alabama.
I would have to say I picked the guy from Castaway, but I'm going to say Woody from Toy Story.
You would come up with something completely from left field, man. I like that.
Yeah, that one, no one's talked mentioned him, about him, but it's definitely a good character, which I saw Toy Story for the past probably twice this past month or two, so it's weird. It's sometimes there's nothing on, so you just watch Toy Story. Justin, how can people reach you online?
Well, I am one of the main people running our Twitter account, at thesportscast.net. And I also do the same with our Instagram account and our Facebook account. So there you go. You got three venues in which to contact me.
There you go. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest. Our big college football show is next on August 26th, 6 p.m. Eastern, live on Periscope, YouTube, and Facebook. And of course, it'll be recorded, and you can listen to it on iTunes or on YouTube and as well on Periscope. So pretty exciting stuff coming on. The Sportscast is getting ready for the college football season. Really excited. Justin, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Well, it's no problem, man. I want to kind of, give a little summary of everything. You know, first of all, these haters just really need to shut up and just stop. And they just need to let through a story write itself. Let it play out the way it needs to. You know, don't hold those four games that he didn't do well in against him, okay? Those are just four games. You know, three of which, like I said, he was hurt. And no quarterback is going to play at the highest capacity when they're battling injury. To realize majority of all this, the media just overhyped to the infinite degree. And then the media then all of a sudden pulls everybody in following with them. And then the moment that Tua looked somewhat human, all of a sudden, everybody started turning their back and started all these little rumblings. I mean, that's ridiculous. Forget about all that, John. And remember, this kid, this was an 18, 19-year-old kid this past season. First full season as a starter. You know, he's going to make mistakes. But also, he's going to correct those mistakes. You know, and let's just wait and see what he does. You know, let's see him mature and develop. As I guarantee you, this past off season, he's worked on those things, and he knows it more than anybody. No matter how many times they mention it, no matter how many times they bring it up on their little YouTube channels, our little chat boards, message boards, whatever. Okay, nobody knows it more than Tua. Let him work on Tua. I guarantee you, it's going to be an incredible season for him. And don't sit there and compare him to Justin Herbert or this or that. And don't sit there and worry about the NFL draft. Let that worry about itself when it comes time to. Because if you're focusing on all those things, the moment that he does something the least imperfect, oh, he's terrible. He's not what everybody's saying he is. Okay, if you want to believe that, go right ahead. And I hope it's your team that we play against that week that you say that, because I guarantee you, you're in for a butt whooping. It's coming.
Yeah, definitely all eyes are on Tua. Obviously, he's still in talks of being the number one pick, or definitely in the first round for the very least. But definitely Tua is definitely one of the stars in college football and many others, because college football produces some great talent, and hopefully we'll see the best of the best. Justin, have a great night.
You too.